of the story. One afternoon, Archie was 9. He came home from school to find his mother gone. What frightened him at first was that all of Mother's personal effects were missing also, even her clothing. Archie ran to his father, asked what had happened. His father said Mother had gone to a seaside resort, only for a visit, he said, only for a rest, he said. But Dad was not smiling, was not even looking at Archie. And at that moment, something inaudible told the little boy that he must ask no more about it. And that was very difficult, for the days became weeks, and still Archie's mother did not return. Relatives reassured the youngster that Mother Elsie would be back any time now, but time rolled on, more weeks. And then the weeks became months, and eventually even Dad dropped the pretense that Elsie's return was imminent. Perhaps he sensed that little Archie had inwardly accepted the truth that Mother would never come home again. The fact of the matter was that the little boy was simply too fearful of the answers to ask the crucial questions. The months became years, and although he remained silent on the subject of his mother's absence, a day never passed that he did not ache for her touch and for the sound of her voice. To imagine she had passed away was sometimes a comfort to Archie, for he knew for certain that she had not. He knew in that inexplicable sense, deep down, he also knew that Dad corresponded with her occasionally, although he never actually saw the letters. What was woefully apparent to Archie was that his mother had deserted him and his dad. His earliest recollections include his parents' arguments, those revolving around Dad's failure to provide a better livelihood. His meager salary was not sufficient to create the illusion of respectability, much less gentility, and those were conditions that Elsie had always craved. Remember what I just said. His mother had always craved the illusion of respectability, gentility. But after a while, Dad refused even to defend himself in the family quarrels, which seemed to infuriate Elsie all the more, and one day she went away. And young Archie grew determined that he would survive without a mother. More than 20 years elapsed before Archie learned the rest of the story. Elsie had not died. She had not died, but neither had she simply spontaneously abandoned her husband and son. It was a nervous breakdown, or at least that's what they called them in those days, a nervous breakdown that had taken her from them, that had suddenly required her confinement in a mental institution. Well, when Archie discovered the awful truth, he rushed to his mother's side. By now he is age 29. The unhappy effects of his motherless youth were to manifest themselves for years thereafter. His shyness around women, his romantic quest for some one woman who reminded him of Elsie, and his lifelong quest for respectability, and at least the illusion of gentility. By 1933, when at last mother and son were reunited, Archibald Leach of Bristol, England, had become world famous. Millions of people knew him on sight. But his own mother did not. You know Archie Leach as Cary Grant. And now you know the rest of the story.